Well, welcome to Harvest Bible Church. It's been a strange week for me, but I was bound and determined to teach tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for Harvest Bible Church and for a place to worship, a place to know Christ and to have Christ made known to us. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to us tonight. Challenge us, convict us. May we leave here better than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I see as you do on the news, if you watch the news, and this got my attention the other day when watching Donald Trump sit there about, from this far from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's over there, and they're having a nice frank discussion. You see this? And it's just the anger and the constant disagreement. And then there was I don't know how many of you know who Steph Curry is, but he doesn't believe that he's a place for the Golden State Warriors, and he's made a statement recently. He doesn't think that man landed on the moon. And NASA released a statement to Steph Curry, and it was beautiful. It was actually, it was so beyond politically correct, it was kind. And it was basically an invitation, please come out to the Space Center next time the Warriors play the Rockets. We'd love to have you. We'll show you. We have a collection of moon rocks to show, blah, blah, blah. Not mean, not sarcastic. It was just brilliantly intelligent, nice, kind. I thought there's a nicer way. There should be. You see it in politics, but in church it gets bad too. And I've been part of the problem in the past. And so as I kept thinking about that, I thought, the way things are in politics, the way things are in churches, we're always seeming to, when you get into a Bible church typically, we know a little bit more than everybody else. And sometimes we like people to know that, don't we? And we ask people questions like, are you pre-mill or post-mill? You believe in the rapture? Which part of the rapture do you believe? Pre, mid, post? You a Calvinist? 5 points or 4 points? 3 points, 2 points? We have all these little compartments. And at the end of the day, do you like John MacArthur or do you hate John MacArthur? Do you like John Piper? Do you like Philip Keller? Or Philip, what's his name? Not Philip. Tim Keller? There is a Philip Keller. But we kind of define ourselves by who other people like. And at the end of the day, maybe one person left, right, to talk to us. It shouldn't be that way. And I don't like it that it's that way. And I don't like that I've been a part of that in the past. And so one of the things I've looked at tonight, just, and this is very unusual from what I've ever done, just some random thoughts, but it's still a Bible study, so I hope you'll bear with me. Where's the unity? Folks today don't primarily seem to be working toward harmony. Instead, they fight with each other. You let me know if you agree or disagree with this. For group advantages and individual rights, what happened to respecting each other? We're always fighting for that. Our group, we see that in the world today. We want there's bowing the knee at the national anthem in the professional football and other venues. We're showing a protest for our people. The fist in the air and all that garbage. Everybody just makes everyone furious. You got to find a line that you're on. Are you with us? Are you against us? Most folks are self-focused, using others sometimes only for their own selfish gain, even in the church. God said it's not good for the man to be alone in Genesis 2:18. And that's why I showed that virtual church. The virtual church is, you can make church just what you want it to be. And to top off your personal experience of your personal day and how you want it to be, you just, I love the, how tight do you want the skinny jeans to be? Isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that what people do when they go to churches? Is the evaluation process that goes on when you leave, what the pastor looked like, what the music guy was like, what the music was like, how the people treated you, how people were dressed, the color of this color. We're all going to do that. I mean, you can't get around it. But is that really what it's there for? I had a guy one time, and he just decided to write it, and he just listed out everything he didn't like. It was all petty stuff. It wasn't even insulting. And I wrote back, and I said, did you hear the word preached? Do you know that I told people about salvation in Christ? And talked about how the Bible is God's word. And of course, I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt. If I don't, no one else will, right? But it was no answer. And I thought, if we're just going to looking for something to fight about, we're going to end up in a virtual church. We're going to pick everything just the way we want it. And then, right, get the little alarm going off. Oh, it's time for football. Let's turn that little, compartmentalize that time. And now we're going to go watch our game. Well, God did not create us to be alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. We're meant to live in harmonious relationships, both in our families and in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm looking out at people, every one of them just in here tonight, and I know all of you, and we're all very different people. We've all seen different things. We've all been in different places. Some have been in war and seen horrible things in war. Some have not. Some are wet behind the ears. They're young, just entering college, just out of high school. Some have been divorced. Some have been separated. Some are newly married. Some have little kids. Some have old kids. Everybody's got something going on. Everyone has the way that they've been molded. And when we come together, that can create friction. We don't always respect each other. We don't always like each other for no good reason. And so the only way to get around that is to have our own church and just to make our own virtual church. Have you ever thought about it, though, what the perfect church would be for you? Would you care to admit that maybe you've gone through this process before? I have. I mean, I became a pastor, folks, to make the perfect church. I'm not even going to ask how I'm doing, but because we know I failed at that, right? God calls his people to unity, not division. Psalm 133, 1-3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, that'd be Mount Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. All that imagery for how beautiful it is for people to get along. People will send me things from time to time, maybe a video, and I'll post anything that makes me cry. It gives me a smile. I put it on my Facebook page. Not so that I don't care if anybody else sees it. I just like to go back and watch it. And one of my favorite things to watch are people coming back from war. Don't you love that? Even when their dog sees them, there's this reunion. It's just beautiful. I mean, I cry like a baby when I see it. I love it because it's something happy. Or a little video of somebody. There's a video I posted a couple weeks back of a young girl about 18 years old who bought her friend a pair of shoes. And the caption's there, he couldn't afford a pair of shoes. And it was just an act of kindness. And it moved me. And I thought, man, those are good stories. Better than watching the news and watch everybody hate each other. These are the things, it's like that. It's like how beautiful and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. For husband and wife to dwell together in unity. How many of you who have children, it's a really good day when your children got along, right? Just a beautiful, how was your day, honey? Oh, the kids were great. They got, look at them over there, they're hugging. Look, take a picture, they're holding hands. That makes our day. Well, we're parents, and we love to see our children. It's the same with God, except even better. I want to go through that a little more when we close tonight. But Paul also says, 1 Corinthians 1:10, speaking to the Corinthians, he said, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, 1 Corinthians is written to the church in Corinth, and yet Paul says it's for all the churches. So look at that again. If God's talking to us, I exhort you, brethren, we're all Christians here, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions. What do you have to do sometimes to agree? Surrender, good. Compromise. Forgive is huge. Listen is huge. Words that people aren't real good at today, are they? Listening, forgiving. I just heard another. I love to use examples of forgiveness, but I just the other day, it was yesterday, something I was watching, just two people, and they just said, "Oh, forgive." Just about forgiving. How'd you do that? We just forgive. We just forgive. That's how we get along. We forgive. I thought, wow. Just said so bluntly, so beautifully. Oh, that's what it was. And I hate to even say who I was reading, but it was, the Oak Ridge Boys is definitely one of them. They just said that recently where they learned to forgive. Now, if I tell you the other group that I'm going to use, for example, is because I was born in the 60s, and because in the early 70s, a particular rock group that put makeup all over their face caught my attention. Kiss caught my attention. I was a boy. I thought, oh, those guys are so cool. And I followed them even. I got to go to a concert. I even caught a guitar pick on the front row of the old Houston Coliseum from Paul Stanley, the lead singer. I still have that guitar pick. Well, at any rate, there was an interview the other day of Paul, the two guys that founded the band, Paul Stanley and that crazy guy, Gene Simmons. He was asking Paul, how have you sustained your friendship all these years? And he said, well, number one, we respect each other as to who the other one is, and we don't try to make the other one the other way. And we forgive. We forgive. And I thought, here's this godless pagan who knows how to forgive, to get along with his friends. There's some Christians that haven't figured that out yet. God tells us that we are to get along and there be no divisions among us. So let me ask you, what divides us? Well, in the church of Corinth, it was the preference of various kinds of preachers. You ever been to church where there's been division over the preachers? If you went to Cypress Bible Church in the early 70s, it was begun by a man named Joe Wall. Joe Wall, I love. My friend Craig in Maryland loved Joe Wall. And Joe founded the church and left soon thereafter. And another man came in. His name's Johnny Miller. Johnny Miller was this great preacher. And if you were an old Cypress Bible Church guy, you loved Johnny Miller. Johnny Miller was there for a while. And the next guy came in, and his problem was he wasn't Johnny Miller. And he was there for a while, and his problem was he was never became Johnny Miller. And when I got there, I never knew Johnny Miller. I knew the next guy, and I kind of liked him. He was a pretty good teacher, I thought, but he wasn't Johnny Miller. And there was this back and forth. Yeah, he might be all right, but he wasn't Johnny Miller. We like Johnny. Well, this guy, and then Joe came back, and another guy, and they've had a few other pastors over there, all good men. But there's enough pastors there where kind of you put yourself in each era, don't you, Marilyn? We're of this era and this era and this era, and everyone's compared. Well, that was what was going on in Corinth. Paul says, I have been informed concerning you that there are quarrels among you, that each of you is saying, I am of Paul, by the way, who founded the church. Paul started the church in Corinth. I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, who is another name for Peter, and I am of Christ. So there's your Bible churches right there. Now, they kind of get rid of the Baptist, Methodist, Methobaptarian stuff, and we're just of Christ. Paul asks, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So he's rebuking them, saying that, look, Paul is one thing. I'm just a servant of Christ. Apollos came in afterwards, and Apollos is a little more polished than Paul. And so if you're an old-time person, and you were there when Paul was there, well, the Apostle Paul started your church, and Apollos comes along, and he's a better-looking guy and more well-spoken. We like him better. I forget those two guys. We're with Peter. Peter was Jesus' right-hand man. Oh, yeah? We're just going to Jesus. He's our guy. And so there's divisions in these early churches. Has anything changed? Why are we like this, you think? Talk to me. What's in the human psyche? What's in the Christian psyche that makes us do this? Okay, fine. Selfishness. Okay. When you want it. The way you want it, when you want it. And we like that guy.
Or the order of the guys that came in.
Right.
Sat under one guy's teaching for so many years, and maybe you really like that guy, and then he moved on, and the new guy comes in, but you're like, as you said, he's not that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you never want to accept that guy because he's not who you want him to be.
That poor sacrificial lamb, a preacher that comes in the middle of a guy that's been there a long time. And so it is. It becomes selfishness. See, that guy might be a really good preacher, but we don't want to like him, do we? Maybe, I'm sorry.
We've got ideas of how we think things ought to be.
Uh-huh.
They ought to be done like this.
Ideas of the way things should be done. So let me use that as an example, Charlotte. We have ideas, she said, of the way things should be done. Being the pastor, if someone comes up and says, Chris comes up and says, Lance, Chris is a King James guy. He likes the King James Bible. He's not too crazy about it. I don't think he is. But he thinks the rest of it can go to heaven by not having a King James Bible, I think. But if Chris might come up and say, Lance, I'm convicted that we should be a King James Bible church. I like Chris, and I love Chris, and I love his wife, and they're a good family, and they're good friends of mine. Well, maybe Ken comes up, and he says, Lance, I really like the NIV. Right there, I'm in the middle of two people that have got ideas. Kristen Mack, she wants to use the New American Standard Bible. Who's the pastor supposed to listen to? Of course, of course. The person maybe that gives the most money, right? I don't know if she does, but clearly she stood up. The way she said that was such power. Chris just sat there all meekly, and Ken stared at me, so I'm going with Kristen. Which, as funny as it is, might be the answer as to what happens. Okay, well, what if I want to use the New Revised Standard Version? Does Chris feel like he's been heard? Does Ken? Does Kristen? No, Lance is going to do what he wants to do no matter what. Because it's what? It's all about Lance. Well, who are we doing this for? Maybe I should preach a sermon from the King James Bible, sermon from the NIV, and another from the NASB, and then keep everybody happy, right? How does that go? Most of you that I'm looking at are doing this. Okay, so say again. So I make no one happy. So I'm just going to use the version of the Bible, for instance, and this could be any example, that I want to use. What does that make me look like to everyone out there?
Dictator.
Dictator.
You are the shepherd.
The shepherd. I'll take the shepherd over the dictator any day.
The shepherd doesn't answer sheep.
Okay. Does he sound pretty arrogant?
No, that's not.
Okay. Should that person in charge be a person or a committee?
No. God put you there.
Okay. Some say, Sharon is using, says that God put the pastor there. The pastor does it. Some would say the committee of elders or deacons or a board, whatever it might be. They make the decision. He makes the decision. Which is it? Neither one is right or wrong. But at the end of the day, there has to be a decision made on what it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Is everyone going to be happy?
No, probably not.
If someone wants an elder-led church and the elder-led church has got to have a meeting about everything and meet every other week for 4 hours and try to beat everything to death, when one guy can just say, we're doing this, let's not have 4-hour meetings every other week, well, that guy is going to become what everyone views, if they don't like him, as a dictator. He's arrogant. He wants his way. And so you've got division. If you go over here, well, then you've got long drawn out. The guys can't ever make a decision. People are going to be divided. We're going to find a way to divide one way or the other. Now, I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. I'm just saying you can't win. There's got to be a decision made on making decisions. These guys had their own styles. Every pastor has his own style, don't we? Don't we? But you and I, we all have a way. If Lance would just do this, say this, not say that, say it this way, if he would just say it. Matthew, you have your hand up?
We're also less likely, less open to change whenever something new.
Okay, so we're less open to change. We like the old, we've been under Lance, at Lance's church, which is in quotes, if you're just listening to this, not my church. But Lance thinks it's his church, and we're just under that. And so anyone that comes in, now what does that make you look like for the next guy that comes in if you're going to toe the line that Lance didn't do it this way? What do you look like? A Lanceite, right? A troublemaker to the new guy. That's why it takes new guys about 5 years to finally. What would happen, folks, if I left tomorrow and someone new came in? You would all go through this. It's human. But the question is, are you mature enough to think, you know what? He's not Lance Waldie. We may have liked Lance, but this is Joe Schmo. And we're going to let Joe Schmo do what God has led Joe Schmo to do and to be. Not easy to do, is it? Never easy to do. Not easy at work. Not easy at church. It's never been easy. We see Paul saying, don't say you're one of these people. We are all of Christ. We're all a little bit different. In 1 Corinthians 3, 3-7, Paul says this, for since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? And by the way, if you know, Apollos was a man. And what is Paul? Servants, through whom you believed. Let me say that again. Servants, through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Don't miss that. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. So while we're dividing and saying, I'm with him, no, I'm with him, these hymns are nothing. God works through all his servants to bring about his word. We're only cheating ourselves. If you've moved from out of town, I know Ray and Becky, they came here a while back and moved from Maine, correct?
Yes.
Did I miss that? Brittany and Alan have come from Pennsylvania. Bill and Sarah have come from a sister church around the neighborhood. I mean, I'm different than what you had where you were, weren't you? Didn't I? Isn't it so much better now? No, don't answer that. Okay, I'm just playing. Well, they're okay from Sugarland. There you go. Came from around the corner. And yet, I'm different. And you'll compare me to them or him or even a her. But really, every one of us, we're just servants. We're doing the best we can with what God has given to us, serving the Lord. And we're really nothing. It's about God who causes the growth. So God made us all different. We ought not judge his servants. Be careful of that. I can't judge you. You can't judge me that way. When we do, there's division. We've seen it. You've seen it. That may be why you're at Harvest Bible Church. You came from a split or a bad situation. If you were at our church, you saw some of that too. It's everywhere. We just find things to gripe about. It's easy to do. It's too easy to do. Paul says this, bleeding into chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 4, 1-5. And I'm quoting this from the New Living Translation. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For he will bring our darkest secrets to light. Doesn't that scare you? And he will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. So here's how we judge each other. If you catch me preaching God's word and telling you to live a godly life and you see me out acting contrary to what I preach, you are to judge me. I've already judged myself. I would have been judged. This is wrong. Lance, you can't do that. But if you see me doing something that's not sinful, and you decide that you think my heart is wicked, well, you're now put yourself in whose place? The judge himself. Do I ultimately work for you? Do you ultimately work for me? Aren't we all God's servants? If we're God's servants, I think, you know, it's like I can't go up to Kenny, if Kenny's got a group of employees, and go up and say, I don't like your servants. I don't like your employees. Kenny will say, I don't really care what you think. They're mine, and they serve me fine, so get out of my way. So when we go around judging each other, and it's easy to do, isn't it? Certainly it's easy for you to judge me. How many of you like it? You can go ahead and admit it tonight. You prefer that I wear a tie versus not wearing a tie. How many of you are for the tie? Only at the pulpit. Okay, good. How many of you are for the no tie? Well, Chris said on Sundays. Yes. How many of you don't give a rip? How many of you would prefer that I go to the boot barn and have Ray suit me up and I wear the cowboy tie and the boots? Kristen, did you say yes? Thomas would like that. Okay. I could just advertise you, right? Well, people like that. You know where they go? To the cowboy church. Because the cowboy church, there's your next niche. If you're a good old stiff Presbyterian, you like to wear full, dudded clothing, and you want your pastor to look that way, or wearing a robe, that's what they do, that's more of a high church mentality. We want that look. Or an Anglican church. You want to go to meet in a gym and dress down, wear your skinny jeans, all the lights are low and the big band, or a little bit more appropriate Baptist type Sunday. Everyone's got the, and would judge everybody. Well, I didn't like the way that preacher talked. I didn't like the way that music minister sang. I didn't like what they were wearing. You know what? They're not your servant. I'm as guilty as you are, if you're guilty of that. They're not my servant. They serve Christ. And I have to tell myself that every, because I visited my son's church at Texas A&M. And we've looked at it, and I swear, I am so convicted. Cheryl and I have been there, what, 4 or 5 times? And it's a good church. They preach the word. It's a little bit light, but he goes through the passage from start to finish for an hour, over an hour last time. And it's filled with college kids. But I sit there and I go, oh, I hate that I'm judging this music. I hate that I'm judging the lights are low. I hate me. Because I would preach against this. And I'm going, that man is a servant of God. What am I doing? Who am I? And the whole time I'm going, I just got to get out of here. And then I think, is that what new people are coming into Harvest Bible Church thinking about me? They should be, because I'm doing it to this poor guy. And like the way he dress, I mean, inside, I'm thinking, I don't like the way he dresses. He should dress a little better. He kind of puts down the cool moves and kind of does a little bit of this and says, check this out. Every time he goes to passages, check this out. Trying to be cool with the kids. And going, so what? Who cares? He's talking to 22-year-old kids. If that's cool, that's cool. Who am I to judge that? I'm just as bad. 1,000 fingers pointing at me. Colossians 3:12-15. I preached it probably 6 times, and it's only in there once for the past few weeks. So, as those who have been chosen of God, Paul says, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You have to when you're with people. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Well, it's all there. You want to put on a heart of compassion. And by the way, it's like I said in the message that Sunday, because I can't get past it, is you can't go to a virtual church and live by yourself and ever become compassionate, kind, and humble, and bear with one another, because there's no one around you to do it with. We have to be together in all of our stink to be able to learn compassion, pity, kindness, humility, bearing with one another. If there's no one to bear with, how are we going to bear with one another? That's why we get married. We learn to bear with one another. We have children. We learn to bear with our children. We have friends. We have neighbors. We bear with one another. It's not easy, is it? And be a lot, that virtual church looks really good sometimes, doesn't it? I like the level of conviction. Click the level of conviction. 1 through 5. I like to think that we're a level of conviction of 5. It's certainly my goal to be as convicting as possible. I personally believe you just start reading the Bible, it becomes convicting. But we're supposed to forgive each other. And note that. As Christ forgave you. You can... If Ken offended me and I was mad at Ken, I might go home and say, you know what? I'm supposed to forgive. I'm just going to forgive Ken. I'm just forgiving him. Cheryl might say, did you forgive him? Yeah, I forgave him. Well, you want to invite him over? No. He ain't coming to my house. I forgave him and that's it. That means for me 3 things. I'm not going to talk evil of him. I'll pray for him and I'm not going to go hurt him. That's what forgiveness means to me. I will not seek revenge. I will not speak evil of you, and I will pray for you. That's forgiveness. But that's not how Christ forgave us. Christ said, I forgive you. Come into my house, and let's have a dinner together. Let's go on vacation together. A reconciliation forgiveness. He didn't just say, all right, I'm going to let this go, but we're not talking again. He invites us into his living room. And that's how we're supposed to treat one another. We got to get over our silliness. We got to get over all the things that we hold against each other. All the garbage. All the reasons why husbands and wives won't talk for a day or a week. All the reason why brothers and sisters who want to get together at Thanksgiving can't talk. Don't want to go over there for Christmas. All the reasons why church members who were once here and somewhere else now won't talk. We're supposed to bear with one another. Get past it and forgive as Christ forgave you. Right? What else divides Christians? We had a lady call the church the other day. I was sitting there with Tammy, we were having a meeting. Lady called and she says, the one question she asked, do y'all have a Christmas tree? And I heard Tammy hem and haw and she said, do we have a Christmas tree? Yes, we have a Christmas tree. That was the end of that call. So apparently the lady is phoning around town and looking for churches with Christmas trees and will not come to that church. Okay. We've had people in the past cut right to the chase and say, do you celebrate Halloween? Well, celebrate it, no. Do we get together on October 31st for fun? Yes. Do we call it something else? Yeah. Well, that was it. They're not coming back. We divide over that. We divide over pre-mill, a-mill, post-mill, pre-mid, post-raptures. We divide over the music in the church, hymns, praise, a mixture of them, an old man, old purpose, the blue hair service, you know, early in the morning that Ken goes to, and the later one is for the older folk, and the early one or vice versa. Turn the lights down, break out the electric guitars, and for the other one, it's all the high music, high church music. We divide over that. Elders, deacons, pastors, staff, who's in charge? As I said earlier, is it the staff? Is it the elders? Is it the deacons? Is it just the pastor? Why can't I get my ideas by the pastor and the elders? How many ideas can we go with, right? Gentleman told me years ago, he said, look, I'm going to give you my ideas. I said, I got them. They're coming at me from all directions. He said, do you mind? I said, no, I don't mind. I'm not going to be able to implement probably any of them. He said, oh, I'll never get my feelings hurt. I just like to talk. Everyone he gave me was getting his feelings hurt. And they all entailed a lot of money. We should do this, we should do that. Well, it's easy for you to say that with money that isn't yours. But no, I mean, and what I learned later was he was offended every time I said no. We can't do that. We're not going to do it. That's not a good idea for this reason. And it becomes, well, you're not going to take that to a committee meeting? Well, no, I'm just saying no. You said it didn't matter to you. Well, you're a dictator. Where's our money going? Where's everyone? How many different ways can we spend money? How many of you who are married have had at least a spat with your spouse on how the money gets spent? Okay, now add 250, 300 people that are here, and how many different ways can we argue about that too? So at the end of the day, somebody's got to make a decision. The way the fiscal policies are here at this church are pay everything as much as we can, pay it down. Don't no long standing debt. Pay it, get it done. That mirrors me. Could we do it another way? Sure we could. Should we be paying more on the building or on missionaries? Pastoral suggestions. Pastors should preach shorter messages. No, they should be longer, and he should never look at the clock. I've had that request. Lance, remove that clock from the back of the building. Aren't you glad I haven't? I live by that thing. We need more songs. No, we need less songs and more teaching. Which is it? Who are we going to listen to? Pay off the building. No, use the money for missions. More programs like evangelism and service projects, etc. These are all fine. I mean, there's neither right nor wrong on these. Not making fun of any of them, but it's an either or, isn't it? At the end of the day, when do you make this church your home church? When more of the answers fit your personality style, right? More than less. Elder board should make decisions. No, the pastor should do it. It's quicker. Elders, deacons can be divorced to hold the office. No, they have to have just one wife. Have you heard this argument too? Elders and deacons must be the husband of one wife. Does that mean they can't have ever been divorced? Some say absolutely, they can't ever. But there's character traits that he's supposed to be, not given to much anger. How many men do you know that have never been angry? I don't trust a man who's never been angry. I mean, if you've ever played a game, you get angry. If you've been married, had a kid, you've been angry. So if you were angry once, can you no longer be an elder or deacon? These are the discussions you have, and boy, they get heated. We'll divide over anything. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 19, Paul writing the same letter, same people. He says, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. Now, he's in the context of the Lord's Supper there. He said, but of course there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. There must be divisions. We're humans. And so God finds something good out of these divisions. Divisions in the church have some use, for God uses them to prove the worth of his faithful servants in the church. You always like the peacemaker. Two people are fighting, and you want someone, hey, look, guys, come on, let's calm down. Let's bring this to a peaceful conclusion. That's what I think at least in some measure, when the factions come up in the church, I hate it. I hate knowing that there are people that don't speak to you. Not now. I don't know of any in the church that are that way, but I would hate that. And these two ladies in the front are good friends. I would hate to see a day when they were not. That would hurt me. And I would want to do everything possible to bring that together. I had a gentleman in our church. He died 2 years ago. Bill Saunders used to sit right there where Ken sat. And you can hear him on all the old recordings, always talking to me or in the middle of my message. And hello, Lance. You know, I loved Bill Saunders. He was Mr. Bill. And he had some work done. There was some work done at his house by a contractor who was in our church, and he didn't like the work at all. It didn't go well, and he was livid. I was fishing. Barry and I were fishing. We were in Arkansas, and he was so mad. He called me. I said, "Bill, we'll fix this when I get back. Lance, I am never coming back to Harvest Bible Church. I cannot believe that someone in our church would be so crooked as to do that to me." I finished the fishing trip, came back, had him in the office, as always, misunderstanding. Brought it together. It was a great time. It was prayerful. Bill was fine. It was just a misunderstanding. It was terrible, and then it was fine. It was good. It was my job to do that. So I don't mean to use this as some sort of a pat myself on the back, but I am a church leader. It's my job to bring that together and make that happen. And so when that happens, the church's leaders rise up from the fires of divisive people. The dross is burned off, and the true servant leaders are separated as dross is separated from precious metals. God calls his people to unity, not division. Let's go back to that passage before we close. Psalm 133, 1-3. Behold how good it is, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil upon the head. Now, I've highlighted each one that I want to focus on before we leave. It is like precious oil coming upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes, like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. First of all, note that unity is a gift from God, coming down upon. I take that to mean it's coming down upon. If it's coming down, it's coming from God. And it comes, when we are unified, that's a gift of God. God gives it. It comes from above. It takes God to fix chaos and disharmony, bringing his people back into harmony. So when we get out of sorts, usually if you're a Christian, you're convicted that we need to fix this. If you're not, you become like Donald Trump, where you just basically dwell on the fact that you hate everyone and everyone's a liar but you. I think he gets off on that. I think that's kind of his thing. I'm the only smart person in the world, and I'm content to live like that in his own mind. Is it just me that thinks that? I really think maybe people like that want to believe that about themselves. But God comes down and brings a sense of harmony back to his people. Number two, God calls, well, it's same one, is that God calls his people to unity, not division. Like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. I had to work at this to get these from this passage. Note how dew comes down upon both Mount Hermon. Now, if you've been to Israel, Mount Hermon is the largest mountain, if you want to call it a mountain. It's really a big hill. It's the large one there, and Mount Zion is right there in Jerusalem. It's smaller. Much smaller than Hermon. For God grants it both to the high and to the low. God grants the unity to those in power, to those not so much in power, to the great, to the small, whatever that may mean. God gives it, but it comes from God. Peace in the home, church, and country benefits everyone. All are blessed, especially the small, the unimportant, and the weak. Likewise, disharmony hurts everyone. I love that. How good it is and how pleasant for God to bring this unity. Number three, the precious oil upon his head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. Since Aaron was the high priest, note that blessings are passed from one to another. The high priest was blessed by God in order that he would in turn bless others. It is for us, God has given us blessings, and we're to bless other people. How might you bless someone else? What are ways that we can do that? Say again? You say giving him an ear? Yeah, listen to them. Encourage them? Say something kind, something nice? What has God given all of us Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are meant to do what? Bless other people. If you, and you know, I know singing isn't on the list of spiritual gifts, but if you, you know, people that can sing, is that their own doing? That's a gift. Even professional athletes, an athlete is not listed in the spiritual gifts, but you know, one of the ones I'm so impressed with has been the guy that won the Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray. That kid looks like he's same height as me. He's bigger, but he is such an amazing athlete. I'm amazed at great athletes. I'm amazed at beautiful singers. I'm amazed at Lauren McDonald and Savannah Mercer. To hear those voices, that's just guitar players, piano players. Guy Ben, the way he plays, Christina, the way she plays, just that's a blessing. Someone that loves children, someone that loves animals, kind people, peaceful people, people that serve and they don't expect anything in return. What a blessing. God has given all of us gifts to use to serve him, but we're also blessing others. So it comes down from God and it moves into other people. The precious oil denotes God's greatest blessings given. At least I think so. Filling the air with a beautiful aroma. This is unity between brothers. It's God's gift, this beautiful, sweet smell. And finally, he gives us life forever. Just want to focus in on that last phrase. James Montgomery Boyce says this of it. He says, some things are good for us, but not pleasant. Other things are pleasant, but not good. But the unity we have as God's people is both good and pleasant. It is even a bit of heaven right now. Just to get along. It warms my heart to get along. I love to see my friends. I love to see you on Wednesday night, a Sunday. We exchange pleasantries, a hug, a handshake. How you doing? Praying for you. Or nice to meet you. Hope to see you back next week. Let's go to lunch. Friends, it's a blessing. Be a blessing. Jesus prayed in John 17. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. New Living Translation. You think Jesus' prayer is going to be answered? Well, I can't imagine God saying no. God will do that. The early church, we see, devoted themselves to prayer or to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer, Acts 2:42. Let's just close with that. Let me know if you like that phrase or that sentence. The stronger your vertical fellowship with God is, the stronger your horizontal fellowship with man will be. So if your relationships with each other have broken down, what do you think the problem is? Your relationship with God the Father is broken down. That relationship fixes this relationship. A marriage that's busted, and I tell them every time I have a marriage difficulty in my office, one or both, here's your problem, one or both of you is out of fellowship with Christ. It's that simple. What? It couldn't be that easy. It is that easy. Get in fellowship with Christ. Remember that he forgave you. You'll need to forgive your spouse because that's probably why you're mad at him or her. Make sure your relationship to the vertical is right and all of these work. This is gravy down here. Listening to the apostles' teaching, namely Scripture, folks, that puts us on the same page. We're a Bible church. We come here and I want you to know that we believe here in God's Word. Bible's God's Word. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It is authoritative in all things. We agree on that. We may disagree on other things, but we agree on that, and that is our unity. It's what they did. It's early church, how they got along. Love of Scripture bound these folks to love one another and care for each other. That was their fellowship. They cared for each other. That's a good thing. If you wake up every day, because you go to a virtual church, you wake up every day thinking of one person, numero uno. If you don't know the problems in the church, then you haven't met anyone and asked them, how can I pray for you? You know, people today ask, hey, how can I pray for you? You might say, you know, it's none of your business. It's private. Well, it's not. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. How can I pray for you? let me know. I'm happy to lift you up, and I'm happy to call you or text you or just see you next week and say, I prayed for you. People love that. Do you like that? I told my wife, I told Tammy when I got my kidney stone, I said, look, please, don't tell anybody. And then Todd got up there the Sunday, he filled in, and he said, yeah, I think he's got a kidney stone. I don't think he'd mind me saying. So I have talked more about kidney stones over the last week, and I thank you. I mean, I think about it. What if no one cared? What if no one asked? Well, I wouldn't be talking as much as I have, but ultimately, it's nice. People care, right? I dare you to go find somebody and find someone to pray for. At the very least, you'll forget about your own pathetic lives for a while while praying for another person. They prayed, breaking bread together. Note that in Acts 2:42, it didn't say they sang hymns. But really note that music is not mentioned, yet prayer is associated with singing to our God. I want you to know, if someone were to come in and want to make a big deal, and people have, well, when do you pray in your church? What do you think music is? We're singing to God. Some people are singing to that screen up there. That's it. But the words are choreographed. They're ancient. Some are new. And they're songs of prayer to God. They're words and praise about God. That's our time of prayer. Corporate prayer comes through the singing of songs. I think that's better than, okay, everyone, we're all going to calm down. Everyone group up with someone you don't know and share prayer requests and that awkward get together. I'm not going to do that. I don't like that. I don't think you do either. It's shallow, and people start praying and Lord, just do this, and just Lord and Father God, and Lord, just help us this, and just Lord, Father God. You think, you know what? Either you're so nervous, you just don't know how to pray. Watch how you pray, folks. Say, God, you're great. Here's people I would like you to remember. Here's my own requests. God, let me remind you again that you're great. You don't have to. I don't talk to Kenny and say, Kenny, let's go play golf. Kenny, I want to go. And Kenny, let's go have some lunch. And Kenny, watch how you pray. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. When we sing songs, songs are meant in this beautiful way with beautiful music behind them as part of our prayer time. Let us long for our future, heavenly, perfect harmony. That's what we're looking for as we are together here. This is just dress rehearsal for what's coming. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, that you have made us all one in Christ. Forgive us for finding ways to argue and just the pettiness between us. I pray that you would, you have made us one, but convict us to do our part. Convict us, grow us up. May our relationship with you be so fine, so wonderful, so intact that our horizontal relationships on this earth just follow suit. Lord, we pray it would be done for your glory. I pray that we would wake up each day with that one thought in our mind, all things to your glory. What can we do? Who can we be today for your glory, not for our own? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.